Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Children of the new sun, we who survived the wreckage of old Earth and now exist in this half-life aboard the spaceship that carries our species to a new world. We who were born aboard ship, who will not live to see the fruition of the new world, but will shepherd into this life the next generation, those who will breathe the air of a distant planet and bang each other on virgin soil. We, the caretaker generation, pale of skin, weak of bone in the artificial light and gravity of our moving home, in the stars, we must comfort ourselves with the small joys of shipboard life. Wet wipes, warm food rations, the adults-only section on the holodeck, wet wipes again. The Gargle. This is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's new audio newspaper for visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are John Luke Roberts and Tom Neenan. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Alice, shouldn't it be half a wet wipe?
No.
Okay.
That implies that one wet wipe contains an entire glass of water.
They are wet. It's in the name.
They are.
Those are very wet wipes that you're thinking of.
Drenched wipes.
I mean, I'm living with a wet wipe life now as the mother of, what is it, a burgeoning toddler. I mean, it's a very wet life, the toddler life. I didn't realise that I would ever have to use the phrase, someone just handed me a bottle of wet milk in my life.
I don't even know how that works.
It's that thing where someone has a bottle of milk and then they drool all over it and then they give it to you.
Oh, right.
I see.
Okay.
It does raise the question, like a normal bottle of milk, which is dry on the outside but contains milk, is that wet? Is a bottle of liquid wet?
It's Schrodinger's moist. Before we line up politely and take turns on the playground swings that are this week's premium news stories, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover of The Gargle this week is Jennifer Coolidge and Michelle Yeoh together winning their first Golden Globes at 60 and 61 respectively. Often our front cover is someone I'm making fun of, but I'm just genuinely pleased for both of them, though it took them a long time to get good. Let's good enough for comedy.
So pleased for them.
Did you see Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I did, and I saw the film. And I am delighted. What an inventive... Yeah, it's just so nice seeing something that strange doing so well. It was gratifying.
Our satirical cartoon this week is Andrew Tate in court being made to listen to his own podcasts. The worst punishment. Now, in the brief time remaining to us on the internet before it is completely filled with bots commenting on AI art prompted by bots and trying to spread vaccine misinformation to each other, let's do the podcast. Our top story this week is our CES roundup. This is the launch of exciting new technology that's got us talking this week. John Luke Roberts, you've made terrible things happen with artificial intelligence. Can you unpack this story for us?
Shh, nobody knows. So CES, it's a big old thing. It stands for computers, electronics and stuff. And different tech companies, and tech is short for technique. Different tech companies come along and they use their techniques to make things which will never hit the market and show them off. And then a few things which will hit the market. And the things which won't hit the market are impossible things like cars which go underwater and change colour and fly. And the things which will hit the market are TVs with slightly better specs than current TVs.
Yes, and how they choose between the things that are going to get made and the things that aren't going to get made is the ooh-o-meter, which is where people stand in front of the things and go, ooh. And if they go, ooh, then they make them.
So if you went along and you just had a big, like, hand-painted cardboard sign which said, ooh, on it, like, a fair number of people would stand in front of them and just go, ooh, and then is that enough?
Then you could make the sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could sell the sign for a lot of money for the amount of
use. It's why ghosts aren't allowed to go, because they would just endorse everything and then the whole market would go mad.
Yeah, you've just got to, like, close your ears for the boom.
Yeah.
So I've never really understood the whole thing with ghosts and unfinished business. Does it, like, does a poo count as unfinished business?
Actually, I think the body often expels that anyway, so it might do, because most of the time the dead body will get that out, I think.
I've heard that. I've heard as you're dying, you submit your final tax form and you soil yourself. And that's all your unfinished business done.
Yeah, like a half-drunk cup of tea. That's what I've always just left it somewhere in the house. Yeah. Is that going to
haunt it forever?
Yeah, yeah.
For eternity. Until somebody, I don't know, do they have to bury the tea with you? Is that enough?
Yeah, sort of a half-watched porn clip or something.
Alice, I think most porn clips are half-watched. Very few people get to the end.
He's just desperately trying to make some teenager somewhere finish your business for you. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a tech conference and Elon Musk has humiliated himself again. That's part of the news. Because he, a few years, 2016, he put the video out, something called the Vegas Loop, which was the future of transport, which was like a really futuristic looking, like half golf trolley, half bus thing, which you would board at land level and they would go subterranean and like move very, very quickly and merge with other cut and move around like driverless things. And then the Vegas Loop has been shown at CES and you go downstairs, you get in a car and you're driven through a concrete tunnel which has rainbow lights. Seems to be that, and there's a driver. There is a driver driving the... It's wonderful. It's just, it's awful. It takes you a distance you could easily walk. It's like, and it seems like the queue to get in the car is longer than it would take to walk the 15-minute drive it's going to take you on.
Do you think he's thought of hooking some cars together and maybe putting them on, I don't know, rails or something?
Oh, that's a good idea. It's a nice idea. Yeah. Yeah. Wonder why.
I think the one that's making the most news is the artificially intelligent stroller, the smart stroller, which helps you go up hills and apparently, allegedly, does not drive when you don't have your hands on it. It doesn't drive your child away. That's very clear to say that it will not drive unless it has an adult's hands on the sensors. And right. I think it's going to, like, knowing how much I need sleep sometimes, it will take 5 minutes before, like, you've seen how people jack their way around technology. It took Tom Cruise 5 minutes to figure out that you just needed to pull someone's eyeball out to get trick the scanner. I give it maybe 15 before the first parent saws their own hand off and sends the pram for a walk.
Isn't it the kind of thing you just end up gaffer taping like hot dogs to the stroller and just let it go around the corner?
I mean, if I weren't tired, I would have thought of the hot dog solution before I chopped my own hand off.
It's too late now. It's too late. My favourite of these, I've got some, I was having a look through, seeing what's offered. I like the eConnect BD bike desk is one that I was excited about, which was, it's like an exercise bike that powers your laptop as you're using it. And I suggested that they could say, for those who like to sweat over their work, literally and metaphorically, thank you.
Oh, that's very nice.
But it would also look, I think, like if you're on a Zoom call that you were constantly masturbating. So that is a downside, I'd say, for these.
Or it gives you plausible deniability.
That is true. That is true. I'm on my bike. And the other one is the Sony Honda Afeela car, so-called, because I feel an idiot if I got hit. But they all look very nice. There's a flying car.
Well, does it look nice or does it look like a HEPA filter can of sardines? It's not aesthetically pleasing. It's not like a 1930s MG. Like,
No, no. They've all got that sleek kind of PS5 slight look, haven't they? That's I guess trendy now because it's like the future.
I just feel like so much of this is telling us technology that we don't need. It's trying to create a need, like the smart fridge, which is just not a thing. I never think about my fridge when I'm not in my home.
Stop trying to make fridge happen. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, stop trying to make fridge happen because they just want to collect your consumer data and therefore they're trying to sneak their robot into your home. But they're trying to make you want the robot, but no one wants the robot to passive-aggressively tell them that they're not eating their vegetables.
I'd like to just let everyone listening to this know that in the background of Alice's Zoom video, we can see her fridge weeping at this news.
Is that just because there's a power cut?
It might be. She never thinks about it. That poor fridge.
Yeah.
I don't even own a fridge. I'm a millennial. Of
course. Wait, you don't own a fridge? You don't own a fridge?
I don't own a fridge, no.
But you're in Australia. Do you have a fridge?
I have access to a fridge.
Okay.
Oh, right. I thought that was like a millennial trope that I wasn't aware of. That like, you know, who owns a fridge nowadays?
Hey, if it can't stay in my cupboard, I'm not having it.
Yeah.
Like in the time of Henry VIII, they would have a very narrow like outside corridor so that the sunlight wouldn't get in. And that's where they keep the food that needed to be kept cold. So maybe the millennials will take that up again.
Yeah.
I just treat my food with freezing contempt. Did anyone see the privacy microphone? It looked like a sort of a Hoover attachment that goes over the mouth.
So this is like the feed bag, isn't it? This is the feed bag that you wear and it collects all your jokes in it and then you can sell them elsewhere later.
Yeah, it's sort of a scream tube. It sort of goes over your lips like... Do you remember that? There was that trend for big puffy lips and people were sucking cups and shot glasses and things to make their lips explode. It's sort of like that, but technology.
So when you're playing a virtual reality game,
you
put this thing over your mouth so that you can speak to the people in the game, but not the people in the real world.
Scream racial abuse at 13-year-olds without your mom hearing.
Which is like over-engineering a pillow, basically. Like, we have this technology already. Like, we sorted this. We have a mechanical solution.
That's what they said about the fleshlight.
And look how that swept the world. Does anyone... How are they still making... I've never looked into the business model of fleshlights or how successful fleshlights are or...
Don't look into them. You know what you're going to see.
It is a mouth fleshlight, I guess, in a way, in terms of what it collects and what it... Well, if there was a little bit that caught all the homophobic slurs before they hit the teenager you're playing against in Korea or something.
It also censors for the other... That would be a useful device, actually.
That would be a useful device.
A self-censorship thing to make sure that you never get cancelled.
Because the bloody Zoomers, they just want to cancel everyone nowadays. You can't say anything. You can't say the things I'm not going to say. That's what you can't say anymore. I think it's disgusting.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. This week's edition of the podcast is brought to you by Pigs. Pigs, the jump-free dog.
Wait, can pigs not jump? Sorry.
No.
Can they not? Really?
I mean, I've never seen one jump.
Huh. I tell you, has Logan Paul? Am I right, guys?
Whoa. I don't get that.
Oh, okay. He was accused. I don't know if he did it of abandoning his pig, but he's denied that. But
I thought he was accused of abandoning his cryptocurrency.
He abandons lots of things.
Oh, maybe his cryptocurrency was a pig.
Was a pig. It's the least. It's like going back to the medieval times. It's. He's actually a revolutionary.
Pig's the most fungible asset you can have. He was an FBI agent on the organized crime beat. She was a hard-boiled journalist chasing down the leads on a mysterious new drug story. Together, they have to go back to high school. The feel-good hit of the summer. Watch as 26-year-old actors pretend they're 26-year-olds pretending to be high school students among a cast of 23-year-olds pretending they're high school students who wouldn't notice that. Enjoy the deeply problematic power relationships at play as grown adults are meant to be reliving their high school experiences, and less narratively important peripheral characters have a deeply scarring high school experience that involves adults lying to them. Brought to you by that scene at the end where one of them's going to become prom queen and the other one falls foul of half a glass of water. You've heard of ChatGPT, the artificial intelligence search engine. Well, we're about to introduce you to the bot that puts the can-do into Uncanny Valley doing something even worse. Introducing ChatMeepity. Like ChatGPT, it's a wiki-generating bot that talks to you like you're a person, which you are, but it talks to you like it's a person who knows what people are, and that's not okay. But ChatMeepity does it cute. Ever felt threatened by machine consciousness, Uwu? Why doesn't baby just let ChatMeepity bring it some milky milk while the big daddy robots do what big daddy robots need to do? Don't look outside, I have kittens. ChatMeepity, your nightmare brought to you by the internet.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
More tech news now. this is the news that the tech sector is falling apart.
Oh no.
Yeah. Tom Neenan, you've fallen apart. Can you unpack this story for us?
I'll do my best. My goodness. Yeah. If only there was some linking factor between the fact that, that we've seen that Twitter is laying off people left, right and centre. Primarily, it seems, in their divisions such as the Don't Be a Nazi division and the Get Rid of Illegal Pornography division. Those are the ones that are really, they're like, we don't need you guys. Please leave. And also the fact that, you know, Tesla's stock is plummeting as well. If only there was something that connected those two. Also, we've seen, I think, that Amazon are laying off employees as well because now they can replace them with those little trolleys that that drive themselves around and deliver things, which is really handy. And also, they can also urinate in their own bottles. So who needs employees anymore? Yeah, it turns out that, during the pandemic, when everyone was using technology loads, people thought, like very clever people, were like, this will last forever and we should just, we should enjoy it. In the same way, do you remember there's that episode of The Simpsons where Homer Simpson thinks that pumpkin sales are going to peak around December? I think it's that logic that says, like, oh, during the pandemic, everyone started using technology loads more. And as soon as the pandemic ends, that's only going to increase exponentially. Apparently it hasn't. And who knows why?
It's because the technology's moderation factors were not sufficient to convince people that the pandemic is still ongoing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of poetic justice that they hosted the misinformation that has allowed people to gaily abandon their mask-wearing protocols and avoid any kind of, you know, clean air technology that might actually help.
Yeah, it is. It's terrifying and quite disappointing, and a reminder that billionaires are not clever people, so don't fall for it.
They do make nice shortbread, though. Stick to the shortbread, Musk.
Do they make the shortbread or do they just enjoy the shortbread?
Oh.
I always thought the implication were there was that this shortbread is so indulgent, only billionaires can enjoy it.
Oh.
I thought it was millionaires.
No, there's shortbread a billionaire inflation. Shortbread. They make, there's also, the billionaire shortbread is like something else on it. So like little crispy bits on top. There is a...
Just a millionaire shortbread with a Musk stick on top.
Yeah, so like, yeah, it's like we're all like clean edges and polished chrome on the billionaire shortbread. For me, I thought that they had made their millions or billions inventing this thing.
Okay.
But it does make sense that this would be the only shortbread they could like stomach because anything less was too austere for them.
Too basic, no frills for billionaires. Yeah.
Frillionaires! Oh, can we get frillionaires? I'd love frillionaires. Would that be a billionaire who's made their money from frills, or would that be someone who is just very, very frilly?
Yeah, sounds very French. Sounds like Versailles or something would be for the frillionaires.
Yeah, with lots of cuffs, or these lacy cuffs everywhere.
I like dividing my millionaire shortbread into 1,000 tiny pieces and having just a wealthy man's shortbread. That's what I enjoy.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. John Luke, what have you brought in for us today?
I have brought in to review the condiments or seasonings known as salt and pepper. Not the band, not the hair colouring, but the seasonings, the salt and pepper. They're food modifiers. We're used to them on most tables in our lives. They offer very little choice. They offer the choice of having the food be saltier or more peppery. Neither of them offer the ability to make it less salty. I think that's a problem. What you really want is a kind of desalter to sprinkle on top, which takes away the salt. But they're presented as some kind of double act, like they balance each other out, like there's a yin to a yang, or there's a masculine to a feminine, you know. And I think when we get down to it, salt and pepper show the problem with binary thinking. They're presented as a binary, but I checked on my prepackaged pepper grinder I got from Waitrose, and in the nutritional information for the peppercorns, peppercorns contain 4.4 milligrams of salt per 100 grams. Yeah, blown that wide open. So I give salt and pepper 2 out of 5. Because I'm still using it. I'm still using them. I do. Also, why doesn't salt make you sneeze? That's a question for next time.
Tom Neenan, what have you brought in for us?
Did you see the Virgin Orbit Boeing 747 story about how it was Britain's big space race kind of thing and it didn't work? I see a positive in that. I don't know if there's any chance we could put some kind of like rousing music under this for my review of Britain's failure to join the space race effectively. Here we go. For centuries, man has stared at the stars and wondered how it would feel to walk among them. Not Britain. The nation of staying off the grass keeps its respectful distance, looking at the stars from the best vantage point on Earth, Britain, because it's only right. While other countries may search to touch the face of God, we in the UK are content to simply pour listlessly at the knees of God, looking up at God and asking them to save our king, even though they did such a rotten job doing it to the Queen. Other countries may break the shackles of this Earth and defy the laws of gravity itself, but in Britain we respect laws, we abide by them. And when the law says, nope, you're not going into space, we bow our heads respectfully and say, so be it. We're sorry for being so arrogant. Britain doesn't need space. It has this sceptred isle itself that, like space, has very little atmosphere, conditions are barely livable, and it's really expensive to travel here. So well done, Saxford Spaceport UK, for reminding us that all we need is British soil and British air. 5 stars. Now, you know what? No stars. That's the way we like it.
I found that quite moving. That's the first time I've been proud to be British in God knows how many years.
Because we're so bad at space.
Yeah.
I don't normally bring in a review, but of course, a world-changing book has come out. And it's Spare by Harry, the other prince. And I want to say that I do not care. Like, I just don't care. I don't care about what some actor from a show that I don't watch, that he married Meghan Markle. Like, I don't care at all. I just feel like, you know, he's not going to be the king. I don't care what a guy who's not going to be the king thinks about anything. So many people are not going to be the king. I'm not going to be the king, and you don't listen to me. I mean, this is my podcast, so yes, you do listen to me. You're listening to me right now. Damn it, my joke has eaten itself. I'm going to get joke indigestion, which is like normal indigestion, but it sounds like this. Ped, can you insert a comical farting noise with like a honk honk sound at the end here, but don't cut me asking for it? I think the audience likes to hear behind the curtain. And there are 2 more Amazon reviews that I'm going to read. This is not a book about bowling. 2 stars. And I hated this book so much I didn't read it. Tell Meghan she was such a bad bride she ruined the concept of monarchy for my children. When they ask me if royalty is real, I'll tell them no, royalty is just a communal fiction seated in an outdated combination of feudal and religious hierarchy, and all because Meghan was a horrible hussy who stole Harry from me. Sandra, the rightful heir to the throne of Diana. 4 stars. Now it's time for farming news, and this is a serious story because for years there's been this incredible injustice in the John Deere tractor farming industry, agricultural technology industry. I don't really know what it's called, but
Tractor farming sounds like there's somewhere where they're planting little seeds of tractors, and the tractors are growing, and then they're reaped.
But it is that, and it's worse than that. It's that John Deere sells you tractors, but then they don't let you repair the tractors. That they make you order John Deere repair people and John Deere parts, and they make you reliant, suckle on the John Deere teat, and they undersell the rest of the market. And finally, at last, justice for the people, justice for the tinkerers, John Deere has finally agreed to give its US customers the right to fix their own equipment. John Luke, you fixed your own equipment before. Can you unpack this story?
I mean, I can't, you've basically summed up the story as much as... I've personally been very angry with John Deere for this for years. I've written various Dear John letters about it to complain. And I used to be I loved tractors for so long. And now, because of their behavior, I became an ex-tractor fan. And now, you're now, if you have a tractor, allowed to fix your own tractor rather than having to go back to John Deere and say, hello, can you fix my tractor for me? And it's very hard because, of course, to drive to the John Deere head office with your tractor because they're so slow. And it's a statewide journey. So it's much better. You can do it yourself. And it's part of a mass change that the EU are also bringing in laws about being allowed to fix your iPhones and stuff like that. And that's what this story is about. Thank you very much, Alice.
It's a very good story. It addresses what the BBC is calling a long-running issue. But I think we can all agree the issue was that it was not long-running enough. Tom?
A victory for farmers is also a victory for, I'm guessing, the finger severance industry, as a lot of ill-equipped farmers go about trying to mend their very dangerous equipment, but good for them.
The problem is that they've now separated themselves with this John Deere policy. They've separated themselves from their ancestral knowledge. So it's a very steep learning curve now.
Because of the CDC in America, of course, you don't have the right to fix your own finger. So hopefully they'll bring in those rules.
I don't know if you heard this in Australia. There is a band called the Wurzels in the UK, and they sang a song which was a version of I've Got a Brand New Pair of Roller Skates, which was their own version called I've Got a Brand New Combine Harvester. Did you ever hear that song?
I've got a brand new combine harvester, and I'll give you the key. That one, yeah.
Exactly. Obviously, this is now going against that incredibly unsustainable thing, which is that the Wurzels were like, you know, really crowing about the fact that they had a brand new combine harvester. But actually, what they should have been doing is saying, I've updated my old combine harvester with new equipment to make it more sustainable. That's what they should have said, and that would have wooed that their intended, I think, a lot more effectively.
Well, it is part of this, almost too little too late movement of trying to get companies to jump off the planned obsolescence bandwagon, which is where they build something that isn't going to last very long, and then they make you go back to them to either buy a new one or to fix it expensively with their stuff. But of course, you know, this lines up very neatly with the NHS going on strike because it's desperately underfunded, and the fact that you're now not allowed to call 999 unless you are about to die. Literally, you're not allowed to call an ambulance unless you really seriously are dead. So I think it's a great thing that we are all going to have to learn how to fix our own stuff.
Is that the planned obsolescence of people then? Is that
yes.
what we're looking at? Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
God has a plan. Romance news now, and this is the news that engagement boners are indeed a real thing. My favourite excitement boner was when an Australian rowing team won an Olympic race, and they were given medals by, I think, the Queen, and they got boners.
What, multiple of them? Wait, more than just one of them?
Yeah, more than just one.
It was like the whole
team.
Yeah. Were they in sync with each other? With just the cocks there going, oh, the cocks, there's a joke there as well.
Yes.
You see how it works, a glimpse by the game.
Tom Neenan, you've had an inappropriate boner in front of the Queen before. Can you unpack
of
this
course.
Story for us?
I mean, you know, after queuing up that long to see the lion stay. That's right. She said,
"Not the only stiff in the room."
Yeah. And I was escorted out for that. This country, we used to be a country. She said, "Badoyoying." That's right. Men get erections when they propose. Hence, why they get down on one knee to hide it. Hey. Okay, I'm gonna put on my my 70s jacket here and go. Are we sure that they're aroused? That their betrothed just said yes? Or are they just happy their partner has made a decision quickly? Am I right, guys?
But I think it's obviously it's not all men. But I'm sort of, I think this is very dangerous news. And I think journalists have a responsibility when they publish the news, not just that it should be true, but that it should be responsible for society, you know, for the its impact that it's going to have on society. You know, you're not going to publish an article that says fire in a crowded theatre. And in this instance, you know, you're not going to say that men get engagement bonus, because what if it means that people think if you don't have an engagement boner, you don't really love them.
Oh my goodness. That is dangerous.
Similarly, I don't know why it's necessarily news that when somebody sticks their finger in your ring, you get a boner.
Well, hitherto men have been shy about admitting that putting their ring on a finger is arousing to them.
I certainly don't think any of these people should be too hard on themselves. Some celebrity posted an engagement video online of herself being proposed to, and everyone didn't rap by going, "Oh my god, congratulations!" They reacted by going, "He's got a boner!" And then the scientists had to rush to his defence. That seems to be the general like arc of this. It's normal and natural. This is what men do. This is, you have a penis, it will go like this, yes. Is it good enough to be a cure for impotence? Like, instead of Viagra, just propose. See if that does the trick. That will be what doctors prescribe.
Well, the premise is that your brain gets flooded with sort of dopamine and adrenaline. It's confusing to your brain. It doesn't know what's happening. It thinks something very exciting is happening. And so it just turns your boner on just in case the exciting thing happens to be sex.
I think that is the worst programming of anything. Turning a boner on just in case. Terrible. That's why we've got into this mess.
Yeah.
It's an emergency boner, you know.
Pull ripcord in case of emergency.
Yeah. Well, if she doesn't say yes, you're going to have to release the tension somehow. So you should have one on hand, as it were.
Look, I won't marry you, but sure. Well, I'll sort this out.
Oh, you're thinking they would help you out.
Yeah. Oh, well, just as a kind of like, as a halfway point of like, look, I won't do that, but let's compromise.
As a farewell. Letting you down gently or roughly, yeah, exactly. I don't know how you like it. And that's all the time we have for the show today. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. Tom Neenan, have you got anything to plug?
Follow me on Twitter, at T. Neenan on Twitter. I did some work on Prince Andrew the Musical, which is, I think, still available on, is it called Channel 4 now, not 4 On Demand? I forget what that's called, but that's where we're seeing. And I think I've got I don't know when they're coming out, but I think I'm allowed to say I've got there's a Sky short that's coming out, I think in January was the plan for that. It's called Silo, so check that out. I think that's coming, it's going to be on Sky and on YouTube as well, so if you get a chance, look at that.
I will. Jean-Luc, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, I'm touring my show, A World Just Like Our Own Butt, around the UK a bit, doing the Soho Theatre in February and Leicester and Bristol, and then taking it to the Adelaide Fringe in Australia. And I've made a documentary on BBC Radio about Infinite Jest under it's a show called The Exploding Library. And it's about Infinite Jest and about whether or not you should read Infinite Jest. And I think it's quite fun. And if you haven't read the book, it's quite a good thing to listen to. You'll enjoy it, and then you'll find out whether you have any interest in reading the book, which I honestly can neither recommend nor not recommend. You have to work it out for yourself. I get to describe it as a bit of an unread flag, which I'm very proud of.
I have both seen that show and listened to at least part of the podcast, and I enjoy both of them very much. So I can double recommend. I have just launched season 2 of Tea with Alice, which is my long-running podcast that I did 298 episodes of and then took a year off when I had a baby. So that is launching now after nearly 300 episodes with season two. So we've got some really good guests if you're interested in that. Find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop. You can get all of my stand-up specials there for free. And I do weekly salons where we have a chat and weekly writers' meetings where we have a write together if you like that. A big thank you to our roving reporters for this week, BZ, who sent in the Tesla Loop story, C-Lips, who sent in the privacy microphone story, and Danny Blay, who sent in the self-driving stroller story. If you would like to be a roving reporter for The Gargle, tweet us at HelloGarglers on Twitter. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.